Welcome to a powerful message from the Lighthouse Chapel International, Bronx North Branch. Lighthouse Chapel International branches worldwide provide every member the training, support, and encouragement to fulfill the Great Commission and to go to heaven and hear Jesus say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Join us for a life-changing experience as you listen to this message.
Our beloved Father, please come down and lead us. We are waiting on your touch.
Ancient words, long preserved for our walk in this world, they resound with God's own word. Oh, let the ancient words impart. Long preserved for our world in this world.
They resound,
they resound
with God's own heart.
Oh, let the ancient words impart. Ancient words.
Let it have an impartation in your life. Do you come a heart that is ready to change? A heart that is prepared to change? A heart that is prepared to be imparted? Sing! Yes! Yes! Ancient world, ever true, is changing me and it's changing you. In your life, it should change you, it should transform you. You should not leave His presence the same. It should have an impartation on your life, it should change you, it should transform you if you come with a prepared heart. Yes, 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 yes. Ancient words, ever true, it's changing me and it's changing you. Have come with open arms. Oh, let the ancient world. Why don't you sing it one more time? Let it impart on you. Lift up your hands and sing unto Him. And say, let your word impart on my life. Let your word have effect on my life. Yes.
Changing in. We have come with open arms.
Ancient world impart.
words impart.
Father, we are thankful unto you, O God. We are thankful this afternoon, O Lord. Oh, we are grateful unto you, O Jesus. We are grateful, O Lord, for our salvation. We are thankful, O Lord, that the King of Kings, oh, you forsook your crown above and you came down on earth. You walk here as a man who knew no sin, but you took the sins of man and you nailed our sins on the cross. Oh, Jesus, we are grateful. This afternoon we come. We come with open hearts, oh Jesus. And we say, let your words impart in our lives. We say, let your words have impartation in our lives. We say, let your words transform us. We come with an open heart. Oh, our hearts are prepared to receive of you, oh Jesus. Oh, our hearts are ready to receive of you, oh Jesus. Speak to us. Transform us. Change us. Let us not live here the same as we came. But may we live here different people. Transform people. Transform minds. Transform hearts. Let us live here and make us purpose that we will follow you this day and forever. We thank you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We thank you in the name of Jesus.
Open hearts, oh, let the ancient words impart.
Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Wonderful. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. How many of you are tired? How many of you are weary? Oh, none of you are tired. I am tired. Hallelujah. Amen. You see, sometimes we get tired. We get weary. Hallelujah. Amen. We get worn out. Amen. Amen. And it's in order. It's normal. Hallelujah. Amen. Sometimes in our walk with the Lord, we get tired. We get to a stage where we feel heaviness. Hallelujah. Amen. But this afternoon, I want to share something very brief with you. I want to share with you, continue in the faith. Wow. Continue in the faith. As the praise and worship team was ministering, I said, the Spirit is talking to us. It says, we have made up our minds. I have made up my mind. Crown, it's good to see you. Wonderful. He said, I've made up my mind and I will not turn back. Hallelujah. Amen. Can we all say we have made up our minds? And we will not turn back. I think we should personalize it and say, I have made up my mind and there is no turning back. Hallelujah. There is no turning back. Amen. Amen. We have to make that decision. We have to make up our minds, because there have been many who made up their minds and they turned back. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Why don't you turn with me to Acts chapter 14. Acts chapter 14. We are going to share very short and simple message, and we will go home. Acts chapter 14, and I want to read from verse 19. Acts chapter 14 and verse 19. Are you there? Yeah. Wonderful. It says, and there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead.
Hallelujah. He says, and there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, they drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. Howbeit, as the disciples stood around about him, he rose up and came into the city. And the next day, he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Amen. He says, to continue, he came, they came purposely, they came with one purpose and one mission. They came with one thing on their minds to accomplish, that they will confirm and strengthen the saints that were of that city. They will strengthen the souls of the disciples. They came back to follow up on them. They came back to ensure that they are still in the faith. They came, they said they came to exhort them to continue in the faith. Hallelujah. Amen. This afternoon, I want to exhort you to continue in the faith. Amen. I want to exhort you to rise up and say, I have made up my mind and there is no turning back. To continue in the faith. Hallelujah. Amen. To continue in the faith. I'm not sure if you realize, but the Bible says, it says, certain Jews, it says, verse 19, it says, and there came certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, they stoned him. They stoned him almost to death. They stoned him until they felt he was dead. They stoned him until they checked his pulse. And they realized there was no pulse. And they realized he wasn't breathing. And they said there's no need to stone him any further. So they dragged him out of the city and threw him outside of the city. Hallelujah. But the Bible says, how be it, as the disciples stood round about him, as they were surrounding him and crying and mourning, the Bible says, he rose up. And you will think that he will rise up and then run away. He rose up and then he came into the city. The same place where they almost killed him. The same place where they thought they had finished with him. They had killed him. They had stoned him. That they threw him out. The Bible says he rose up and then he came back to the city. And the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. And so I thought, that's enough, Paul. You came back to the city, such big risk. That's enough. But continue on. He says that, and when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again. They returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and Antioch. Is it one of the cities from where the Jews came? He said they came from, these Jews came from Antioch and Iconium. And they said they returned again. And I thought they had some personal interest, something else. But they came for one reason, to exhort the saints to continue in the faith. To exhort the saints to continue in the faith. It means that the Spirit ministered that there are forces that will rise up against your continuity in the faith. There are things that will come your way and will fight you and resist you and will resist your continuity in the faith. Hallelujah. And so Paul felt it so important. He felt it that it was worth his life. He felt that his life is nothing compared to the need for the saints to continue in the faith. So as much as his life was so much in danger, the Bible says he went back. He went back with Barnabas. It says their continuity was so important that Paul and Barnabas had to put their lives online to go back in the city to exhort the saints to continue in the faith. Hallelujah. To continue in the faith. Beloved, you need that exhortation to continue in the faith. Sometimes we need to be exhorted to continue in the faith. Sometimes we have a lot of weariness. Sometimes there's so many heaviness. Sometimes there's so many conditions that weigh us back. And sometimes what we need is someone to pick up a phone and call you and exhort you to continue in the faith. Hallelujah. And so sometimes we also feel like, oh, we are too tired and we need rest. We have to take care of ourselves. I will get ready. I have to iron my clothes to come to church. But the Lord is asking that your clothes, nice clothes, is not worth it. But your time to rest is not worth it. But what is important is that call somebody and exhort that person, that brother, sister, you ought to continue in the faith. You ought to continue in the faith. Hallelujah. We ought to continue in the faith. Paul felt that his life was nothing. If he will lose his life and he will accomplish that the saints will continue in the faith, it is worth it. It is worth it. It is worth it. The Bible says he rose up, and when he realized he wasn't dead, he went back to that city. He went back to that city to see if they are still believing, to see if they are still in the faith. And when he made that assurance, he left. And then he went away and preached. And then the Bible says, and he came back. He came back, confirming the souls of the disciples, confirming that they are establishing the Lord. There are a lot of us who are not here today because they have not been exhorted. A lot of us are not here because somebody did not pick up a phone and look at our phone list and say, this one has not been around for a while. I believe the sister needs some exhortation. I believe the brother needs some exhortation. But you are here. Hallelujah. You are here. Paul understood that the success of the faith is not in the starting. The success, if we are going to succeed, is not in the starting. Starting it may be very easy, but the success comes in the finishing. If we are going to succeed, then we ought to finish. Hallelujah. The blessing or the reward is not for those who begin. The blessing or the reward, the prize, is not for those who begin, but it's for those who finish. Hallelujah. Sometimes I see, they say there is a New York Marathon. And I see a whole lot of people that are at the starting line. You see a whole lot of people. Hundreds and hundreds of people. But I realize that I don't think they buy prizes expecting all of them to finish. They buy enough prizes because they anticipate how many people will finish. And the ones who finish are the ones who get rewarded. Hallelujah. Amen. Whatever we begin, we must make every effort to finish it. Hallelujah. Amen. Whatever we begin, we have to ensure that we finish it. Because the reward is not in the beginning. The reward does not come to the one who begins. But the reward is given to the one who does what? Who finishes the race. Hallelujah. Now you cannot finish anything except you continue. You can begin. There is a finishing. But you can't get to the finishing end except that you continue. And sometimes as you are continuing, there are certain things that will rise up. Hallelujah. There are certain things that will rise up. It means that continuing on is a battle. Continuing on is a fight. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 5. Look at that. Paul said, but watch thou watch thou in all things, endure afflictions. He said, watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. That means continue fully in your ministry. Make full proof of thy ministry, for I am now ready to be offered. As for me, I am ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. He says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have fought a good fight. Sheila, there is a fight when we are continuing on, and it's a good fight. Hallelujah. There are certain fights that are not good. Certain fights are useless. So the Lord expects us to fight, but it's a good fight. He says, I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. I have kept the faith. As we are going on, we ought to keep the faith. He says, I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them that also love his appearing. Hallelujah. He says, I have fought a good fight. I have fought a good fight. Now, there is a major thing that we will experience, or we shall encounter, whenever we try to finish something. Whenever we try to finish something, there is a major thing that we encounter. And the Bible calls it tribulations. Hallelujah. Tribulations. If you look back at Acts chapter 14 and verse 22, go back to Acts chapter 14 and verse 22. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 14, verse 22. It says, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must, through much tribulations, not just a few, but much tribulations, we have to continue this walk. We have to continue in this faith. We have to continue this fight through much tribulations. Hallelujah. There are tribulations that await us. It is easy to begin, but to continue to the end, it is difficult because of tribulations. Hallelujah. Amen. Tribulations are suffering. Tribulations are pain. Tribulations are afflictions. Afflictions that we encounter on our way. Afflictions that we encounter on our walk with the Lord. Trials that we encounter in our walk with the Lord. They are set up to prevent us from continuing on. Hallelujah. Amen. But Jesus says, we are in this world, but we are not of this world. We are not of this world. That means that the tribulations of this world, the trials, and the effects of this world should not have any harm on our walk with the Lord. It should not stop us. Paul said, I fought a good fight. He says, I finished my course. Beloved, there is a course that you have to finish. It is not in the starting. The starting is just the starting. But there is a course to the end of the race. For some of us, it is a very straight course. For some of us, it's a very windy course. For some of us, you come out as a single person and you are just serving the Lord. And it looks like so easy. And it looks like everything is working out well. It looks like it doesn't take much for you to be in a meeting. It looks like when you get up, it's just you. And then you just scatter yourself, put yourself together, and you are there. But for some, the course is windy. For some, the course is challenging. For some, the course is not that straightforward. For some, the course has a lot of entanglements. But for each person's course, we ought to finish. No matter how your course is, Paul said, I have finished my course. I have finished my course and I kept the faith. No matter how the course takes, you ought to keep the faith. Hallelujah. No matter how the course may take you, you ought to keep the faith. Hallelujah. Therefore, we ought to be conscious of the tribulations that we encounter. We ought to be aware of the tribulations that will come our way, the challenges that will rise up. Hallelujah. And we ought to embrace them so that we can continue on. Amen. Jesus said in Luke 18, verse 8, he says, "Nevertheless, if the Son of Man comes, will he find faith?" It means that there's danger that we will begin, but when the Son of Man comes, he will not find us in faith. Is somebody understanding what I'm sharing this afternoon? I don't get excited about first timers when they come to church. I don't get so excited. What excites me are the people who come and come again. The people who come and they make their mind and they make a decision that I will continue on. Because sometimes you get excited about someone who says, "I have made my mind and this is where I am going to be." But then there arises tribulation. And they say, when they went and they were sharing the food, "I went there and then they ignored me as if I didn't exist. I am not coming again." Oh, true or not true? You call and then you find out that there are tribulations that come our way. But I want you to be conscious of the tribulations. The tribulations are set and designed to stop you from finishing your course. Hallelujah. They are designed and set to stop you from finishing your course. Hallelujah. But can we say with Paul that I have finished also? Can we say with Paul, when you come in and the ushers annoy you, you say, "I want to sit here." They say, "Sit there. Please, we want you to sit there." Are you prepared to go through that embarrassment and say, "I have my focus and I will finish my course"? Hallelujah. You say, "I have my focus and I will finish my course." Hallelujah. Amen. You say, school certificates and degrees, they are not given to people who begin. School certificates and degrees are not given to people who start. You can start and take many credits in one semester. You say, "I'm taking 5 courses in one semester." And nobody will reward you. Even the second semester, you decide to take 10 classes. But nobody will reward you. The reward, it comes to only those who finish. Hallelujah. The reward comes only to those who finish. Sometimes it may take you 5 years. For some, it may take 4 years. For some, they have been in school for 15 years. But you cannot say that I have been here for 15 years, so I deserve a degree. Maybe 5 degrees. You cannot say I have this man of credit, so I deserve a degree. The reward, it comes only to those who finish. Hallelujah. Even if you will take your course for 3 years, for some 5 years, as long as you finish, you will find the 3 years and the 5 years and the 10 years all standing and receiving a reward. I said the price and the reward, it comes to those who stay and who finish. Hallelujah. One time Jesus told of a story. He said, a certain man went out to hire laborers. And then when he went, at the 11th hour, he hired some laborers. And he brought them to his vineyard. And then he went again. And then he brought some laborers. And then at the last hour, he went again, and then he brought some laborers. And they stayed, and they worked. And at the end, he called them to reward them. And the Bible says, he rewarded them equally. The ones who came the 11th hour, the 12th hour, the first hour, he gave them the same price. And the people who were looking, who came the 11th hour, the 12th hour, they were wondering, This is not fair. We've been here for 12 years. We've been here for 11 years. These people just came and they are receiving the same as we receive. The reward, it comes to those who finish. It's not how long you have been there. It's not how long you have worked. It's not how long you have believed. But when the Son of Man comes, will he still find you in faith? Because those are the ones that he will reward. Hallelujah. Those are the ones that he will reward. Amen. The real test is not that you pass this one and you pass that one. That I was part of the class of 2010. And if the class of 2010 are graduating, I think I deserve to have a certificate also. Yes, you started, but did you finish? Hallelujah. Amen. The real test of marriage is not that you were able to afford a beautiful wedding. The real test of marriage is not because you were able to go through counseling. The real test of marriage is not you finish and you say, oh, it is finished. I believe that is what the two of you said. You say, thank God, it is over. But the ability to continue. The ability to continue. I said the ability to continue. The ability to walk in. The ability to overcome the tribulations that shall arise. The ability to overcome all the trials that shall arise. That is when you receive your prize. That is when you can say with Paul that I have finished my course. I have run the race. And now awaits me the crown of righteousness which the Son of Man bringeth to me. That is when you can say that. That you were able to endure. Hallelujah. The real cause of anything, it's not what it costs to start, but what it costs to continue. Hallelujah. Amen. It is what it costs to continue. Amen. Amen. Yes, you made up your mind to join the choir. The first day you came and you wrote your name. Put my name down. I want to sing. Hallelujah. Amen. But then your course now, you see, you came as a single person. And then you joined the choir. And then you were walking straight, but now your course has turned and now you are married. You see, when you joined, the course was a straightforward course. But now you are married. Would you still be singing? Now you have children. Now when you are getting ready to come to church, it's not just you with your dress and you just iron and you are ready and you are going. Now you have children. You have to get this one ready and get that one ready. And as you are coming, you remember that you left the feeding bottle in the fridge. And then you run upstairs. And then as you are coming, you forgot the warmer. And then you run upstairs. And then you feel that you are so sweaty. And then when you come up, I don't think I can go today. Not today. Your course is like this. But would you still be standing and singing? When your course takes a turn. When your course changes. Then you call the choir master and you say, I know I was leading today, but today, the way I am feeling, I don't think I can sing today. Even my voice, the children, they are too much. Would you still be standing here singing when your course turns? When your course changes? When your course is transformed? Would you still be standing? Hallelujah. Amen. Beloved, your comfort and your love for one another is not important to the Lord as your salvation. That you make it to heaven is more important to him than that your husband treats you well, than that your wife treats you well. It's more important to him. Hallelujah. Amen. That is why there is no other model that he gave us in marriage. I don't know if you have realized, but there's no other model in the Bible that God gave us to follow. Which family? Tell me, which marriage is an example? David's marriage? Abraham's marriage? Whose marriage? The one who wrote a lot about marriage, he never got married. Paul never got married. Peter wrote a lot about marriage. He never got married. Jesus Christ himself, he said a lot about marriage. But he never got married. So whose marriage is a model for us to follow? But he gave us one model to follow. He gave us one model to follow. Hallelujah. Amen.
Do you want to see that mother marriage? Who wants to see that mother marriage? Give me Ephesians chapter 5. Give me Ephesians chapter 5. And I believe we can read from verse 21. Look at that. He says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husband as unto the Lord. He gave us only one model. He said, wives, for your part. He says, wife, submit yourself unto your own husband as unto the Lord. That is your duty. That is your part. As unto the Lord. And looking unto the Lord. And finishing on, as unto the Lord. And looking and keeping your focus as unto the Lord. As you are submitting unto your own husband. And then what? He says, for the husband is the head of the wife. Even as Christ is the head of the church. And he is the savior of the body. Then he says, therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. I said, he did not give us any model to follow, but that's how Christ and the church is married. That is a model marriage that he has given you. That is a modern marriage that he has given you. There is no other marriage that he has given us, but that the relationship between Christ and his church. That is a model that he has given us. That is the only model. And so he continues on. He says, husbands, love your wives. Husbands, love your wives. Even as Christ also loved his church. You want to know how a husband should love his wife? There is no other marriage that he can point out to you. There are many righteous people who follow the Lord. But there is none that he can point to you. But the one that he can give you is how Christ loved his church. That is the only marriage that he can give you. That is the only marriage he can give you. He said that he may sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. Sanctify and cleanse it by the washing of water with the word. Not too much talking, not too much fighting, not too much argument, but you sanctify by the washing of water with the word of God. With the word of God. With the word of God. Arguments don't work. He says the model that he's giving us to follow, arguments will not work. That I didn't wash it and you didn't wash it, it doesn't work. That I left my socks here and you are angry, it doesn't work. But by the washing of the water with the word, with the word, with the word, with the word. That he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. But that it should be holy and without blemish. Do you understand what that means? Do you understand what he's telling you? That he, at the end, that she is going to make it. That at the end, I say your salvation and that you make it to heaven, it is more important to the Lord than your marriage. And he says, if you are come into this thing, if you have joined together, then your duty is going to make her. He says that he might present it to himself, a glorious church. Not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish, that she will make it to heaven. That she will make it to heaven. I say your salvation is more important to him than that you love one another. Hallelujah. Amen. That he bought me flowers. That he bought me a birthday card. Your salvation, if you can do anything, if you can do anything to keep her in the faith, if you can submit to him, that he will not run away and break what God has said, don't do. He said that I hate divorce. If it will not come from you, but you will submit, as you submit unto the Lord, and that you will stay together. He says that this is a model marriage. This is the type of marriage that he's giving you, that you will cause him to continue in the faith, that he will not leave the faith, that he will not go against the laws of the Lord, that he will continue on. If you have done that, your ministry has been accomplished. Amen. I say, then your ministry has been accomplished. Amen. Is somebody understanding what I'm sharing with you? And then what did he say? He says, so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. If you love your wife, you love yourself. If you want to go to heaven, then you want to make sure that she also goes to heaven. Hallelujah. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourished and cherished it, even as the Lord, the church. Hallelujah. I said there is no other model that he has given us. There is no other model that he has given us, save that we will continue on. We will continue on. He's not against marriage, but he says, if you have purpose to be in this relationship, then you ought to exhort one another to continue on in the faith. That when he comes, he will still find you standing. Hallelujah. Amen. I hope somebody is understanding what I'm sharing this afternoon. That is our purpose. That is our goal. Beloved, that you are happy and that things are moving on well, it's not as important to the Lord that you continue in the faith and that when he comes, he will still find you standing. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. That when he comes, he will still find you standing. Amen. Amen. But you see, a lot of times we are looking for joy here and joy there and joy there. It's not as important to him. But that you continue in the faith. Amen. Amen. I want to hear amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
He says that Matthew chapter 24 and verse 13. It says, he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be what? Shall be saved. Zadian, he that continue and endures unto the end. You cannot endure unto the end except that you continue on. You cannot endure to the end except that you continue on. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I said there are tribulations. There are trials. There are temptations. There are difficulties. But your focus is that we will make it to heaven. And it's not that I will make it. He says, for this reason shall a man leave father and mother and cleave unto his wife, that they two shall be one flesh. You don't go to heaven. If you go to heaven alone, you have not succeeded. I say, if you go to heaven alone, you have not made it. You have not fulfilled the ministry. Hallelujah. But you do whatever, this is your ministry. As a husband, this is the ministry that Jesus has given you. That you do whatever it is in your power that she goes to heaven. As a wife, your ministry is that you do whatever it is. I said, there is no other model. There's no marriage that is in the Bible that he has given us. The only marriage, the only model is Christ and his church. Hallelujah. Let us read one more scripture and we can go. John chapter 8 and verse 30. John chapter 8 and verse 30. As he spake these words, many believed on him. Do you see? Many came to church, and Jesus preached. And the Bible says, as he spake these words, many believed on him. That was the beginning. Many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. It is not in the beginning when you have believed, but that you have the ability to continue on. If you want to be a true disciple, then you should have that ability to continue on. He said, he said to those Jews who have just become believers, they have just joined the church, and they say, we believe. We heard the words, and we believe, and we want to be part of it. He says, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And then what will happen? And ye shall know the truth. The truth comes to those who continue. He says, and ye shall know the truth. And then ye shall make you what? Free. But the freedom, it comes after you have continued. The freedom is the reward. Some of us are looking for the freedom. Some of us are looking for the reward. Freedom from poverty. Freedom from unemployment. Freedom from my papers are not here. Freedom from my children do not behave. Freedom from my marriage is not working. Freedom from so many things. But he says that that freedom, it will come only when you continue unto the end. He says, if ye continue, then ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. If ye continue, it is not just that I lay my hands on you and you are free. That is not it. But that you continue and the truth shall make you free. The truth shall set you free. But you see, oftentimes we set and then as we have begun, yes, I came. I believe in the word that you shared. Lay your hands on me, pray for me, and I am free. You see, he says that that is not how you get the freedom. That is not how the freedom comes. The freedom, it comes when you become a disciple indeed. How do you become a disciple indeed? When you continue in his word. When you continue in his word. Have you not realized how many times you come and we lay hands on you and you keep coming and you keep coming and we lay hands on you and you go and then you realize that the freedom is not here. You are still entangled with debt. Your marriage is still not working. Your children are still not behaving. Your papers are still not here. You are not continuing. And so you are not seeing the freedom. But the freedom, it comes at the end. It comes to those who continue in. It comes to those who the truth has approached. That is when you receive your freedom. It says, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Hallelujah. Amen. Beloved, there are tribulations and there are temptations. One more scripture, Revelation chapter 2. We're almost done. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 8. Revelation chapter 2 and verse number 8. Hallelujah. Are you there? Revelation chapter 2 and verse 8. It says, and unto the church, unto the angel of the church in Smyrna, write, these things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. I know thy works and tribulations and poverty, but thou art rich. You see, you don't know. You are rich. You see, you think you are in poverty. He said, but thou art rich. It is in the end. You are not just going for it. He says, I know thy tribulations. I know thy poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that he may be tried, that ye may be tried. And ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. The Lord has spoken. Hallelujah. The Lord has spoken. Amen. He says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. I said there are challenges that will come our way. There are tribulations that we shall encounter. But our focus should not be distracted. Our focus should not be distracted. Beloved, your marriage is a gospel. Your marriage is a modern marriage. Your marriage is the gospel message. Your marriage has given two things that Jesus gave to us. Submission and love. Submission and love. Jesus submitted and he loved us and he gave. He gave when he loved us. That is the gospel message. That is the message that is in the marriage. When we mess up the marriage, we mess up the gospel message. Hallelujah. I say when we mess up the marriage, we mess up the gospel message. Hallelujah. Because when you mess up the marriage, one is against what the Lord is doing. He says that I hate putting away. He says, I inhabit every detail of this relationship in the book of Malachi. He says, I inhabit every detail of your relationship. The Lord's eyes are like this, and he's focusing, and he's looking, and he's focusing. When you are making plans in your head, his eyes are in your head, and he's looking. When you are making plans and you say, when he comes, I'm not going to sleep with him tonight because of what he did. I'm not going to sleep with him. You see, your reward, you see, you don't expect your submission does not depend on what he does to you. Your submission to him does not depend on what the Lord has called you to a ministry. And he says that you, your ministry is that you ought to submit. That is your ministry. When the Lord gave you that ministry, if you go through that checklist, if we go back to Ephesians chapter 5, you realize that on your checklist, there was nothing concerning him that he ought to do this to you, that he ought to do this to you. It does not include in your checklist. Therefore, his submission, your submission to him does not depend on anything that is on his checklist. That he didn't love me, and so I'm not submitting. That he's not worth it, and he doesn't deserve it, and that I'm not submitting. It is not on your checklist. Your checklist. One, submission. And your checklist, my brother, is one, love. And if you love, you give. I say your marriage is a gospel message. Put your hands together for the Lord and stand unto your feet. Stand unto your feet. Oh, there are tribulations that come our way. There are challenges that come our way. There are difficulties that come our way. Maro Santerima. Lord, help us to continue on. Help us to continue on. Father, there are tribulations and trials and afflictions. Oh, yes, there are distractions, oh God. But help us to keep us focused. It says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher. Father, may we not be distracted. 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 Yes, may we not be distracted. Help us, Jesus. 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 Lead us, oh God, lead us. Yes, he's not doing this. He's not doing that. She's not doing this. She's not doing that. He's not doing that. Let my focus be on you. Let my focus fulfill my ministry. That I shall fulfill, that I shall continue in the faith, that I shall continue in the work that you have given me. Yes, yes, yes. Help us, Jesus. Help us, Jesus. Help us, help us, help us. Yes.
Guide me home, that great day home.
Yes,
Maro Salebre
Yandere Mama.
Yes,
Mayadere Mama Mama. Ray, yes, Lord, there are weaknesses. There are things that cause us to be weak. Yes, we leave our strength unto you. Oh, yes, Maro Satele Mama Mama. Yes, we are made strong when we are weak.
Bread of heaven, feed me too. I want no more. Bread of heaven, bread of heaven, feed me too. I want no more. Bread of heaven, bread of heaven.
If that's what you want, he will feed you. Yes, Lord.
I want no more bread of heaven, bread of heaven. Feed me till I want no more.
Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for this exhortation. We thank you, Lord, for exhorting us, O Lord, to continue in the faith. exhorting us, oh God, to continue in your love, to continue in what you have given us, to continue believing. Oh, you say we should be steadfast in our faith, oh God, for you are coming with your reward. Lord, help us. There are tribulations, there are trials, there are temptations that come our way. But help us, oh God, to continue in the faith. We love you, Jesus. We are thankful. There are many things that have come our way. There are many things that have made us not the same as we first met you, as we first loved you. But Lord, take us back to our first love. For we desire to continue with you. We desire to continue in the faith. We are grateful. We are thankful for this great exhortation in the name of Jesus. If there's anyone here this afternoon, you are not born again, and you say, I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to give my life to Christ. If you are here this afternoon, and that is your prayer, you want Christ to come into your life. You want to invite Jesus into your life. With all eyes closed and every head bowed, just lift up your right hand wherever you are, and I'll pray with you. I'll say a short prayer with you. You are here this afternoon. You want to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. With all eyes closed and every head bowed, just lift up your right hand and I'll pray with you. Anyone here like that? Anyone here like that? Don't let this opportunity pass you by. Do not let it pass you by. You feel very far away from the Lord. You say, I want to come back, Jesus. I want you to take me again. If that is your prayer, lift up your right hand and I'll pray with you. Father, we thank you. Why don't you all join me and say this after me? Say, Lord Jesus, thank you for dying for me. I am a sinner. I know you are the Son of God. I believe you died and rose again on the third day, just as you said. Lord Jesus, you nailed my sins on the cross. Please forgive me of all my sins. I invite you to come into my life. Take control of my life. Lord Jesus, be a master. Be my savior. Be the savior of my life. I want to serve you.
We hope you have been blessed immensely by this message. Join us at 1734 Williams Bridge Road in the Bronx on Sunday afternoons and Tuesday evenings. For copies of this and other messages, contact us via email at lci.bronx@gmail.com.